Hello there, everybody, boys, girls, children. This is weird because Steve's been using. I'm so used to everything being exactly where
right.
I left it, and you know all the volumes, everything. And you just came in like, and I'm trying to figure out how to get mine up. I think my microphone's going bad.
It actually sounds pretty good on this end.
Yeah. Okay. Let me get you balanced in here too. All right. How about you?
Sounds a little better, maybe.
Try that there.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, lots of stuff going on. We're going to be selling ads on the Place by Place Fishing Report, Radio Fishing, kind of all the same thing. And what that's doing is going to pay for extra help in the store so that we can dedicate our time to this. Because these are kind of we do it for our customers to have fun and, you know, talk and chat, let people know what's going on about fishing. And, yeah, I guess it's a way of making money, but sometimes we have people actually in there spending money that
right.
we have to have spend time with. And so what the ad money's going to do is it's going to give us the ability to do this every week so that we have the people on the floor. I'm not using the ad money here so much to line my pockets as to put more help out on the floor. And we're going to see where that goes. The ads are, you can email me, Frank, at Fish and Franks. I actually have quite a few emails about it. And I appreciate everybody. I hope you like what we're doing. We're going to be announcing, you know, talking about the people on the ads and everything. But it's all that's going to be actually starting in July, but we're getting their place markers up here and going to get used to it. So anyway, that's about the business. That's why you're seeing the sponsor a spot thing is just so I can pay more payroll. Because payroll's expensive.
You think?
Yeah. Jiminy crickets. All right.
We could always go overseas.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we could, you know, like farm it out. they were saying on North Korea lets out slave labor to build soccer stadiums.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, really? I mean, you brought that up. I was picked up some of the news this morning. I watched news for a minute, went over to Weather Channel and back to News Channel, hit another news channel. They were talking about it. I was like, wow, life is weird.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, it is. It's kind of scary, really.
Oh, yeah. It's everything is really weird. I don't know what's going on. And I think this was the problem. Somebody messed with one of my submix buttons. That's why nothing was sounding right. My mic was off and everything else was messed up. I guess I got to put super glue on some of this stuff.
There you go.
Yeah, that was, see, there we go. I knew there was a reason all the settings were off. There we go. I found the one thing that was all...
The one thing that was different.
Yeah, it's Sesame Street. Which one of these things, just like the other ones, but not the same? Now I know what happened. Okay, so we're back. Actually starting the Area Fishing Report. We're going to start on the Peace River Systems, sponsored by PC Solutions of Arcadia. He's actually moving to Punta Gorda. Nice guy. I've talked to him on the phone. Does Peace, you know, works on computers and stuff. I think the cool thing is he can either log into your computer remotely or he can actually come to your house and work on the stuff.
Nice.
So he's actually seems like a really nice guy. We'll get some more feedback from the customers and see where all that goes. Boy, that's mic is awful hot now. I was so used to doing it the other way. All right. Anyway, up on the Peace River, we have some nice redfish. Caught some oversized ones up around Harbor Heights.
I was out fishing with your father, right?
Yeah, my sister actually caught the big redfish.
Nice. There you go.
And
catch them on shrimp?
Yeah. Yeah, shrimp with a slip sinker rig. Because I anchored way back up off some islands. And I had to have a half-ounce sinker on. I had a shrimp, a hook, about 25-30 inches of 25 fluorocarbon,
mm-hmm.
a swivel, and a sinker on it, but I needed that sinker because of the distance. I was probably casting a good 60 feet.
Wow. Yeah. Need that.
Had the wind at my back and was able to zing it. I was probably about 3 feet off the shoreline. On that island, it gets pretty shallow right out in front of it, and then there's kind of a trough that happens right after that. But I was just up on the sand, within about 3 feet of the mangroves, and boy, that redfish. I'm sitting there thinking it's a snook because it did a backflip when she first hooked it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the tail came out of the water kind of over backwards, and then it was rolling and boiling so much. I mean, it was like the boiling and it,
right. I'm typical thinking, snook.
Yeah, it really was fighting like a big snook fought. And so that shows you how long it's been since I've caught an oversized redfish. I couldn't tell the difference. I'm going, wow, beautiful snook, beautiful snook, beautiful redfish. Wow, beautiful redfish.
Wow. So, that's pretty good.
The only thing I had right is around the 30-inch mark.
You had that right, huh? Well, you're good at measuring that stuff. You've been doing that long enough where you can probably still do that.
Yeah, I have no idea. Okay, and catfish.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't really know anything up on the Peace River about you.
It's been a little quiet. There was some juvenile tarpon and some small snook at the Shell Creek Dam that, you know, the guys are still catching a few. You know, water's still flowing off of there. And then, of course, with the river flowing as hard as it was the other day, it's pushed a lot of gar around, so a lot of people are seeing gar and getting excited thinking about tarpon.
Let me get to fishandfranks.com, weather and tides. Bottom of the weather and tide page, clicking the Peace River button. See what is that? It was at 10 feet the other day. Oh, goodness. Whoa. Went over flood stage, 11-foot flood stage in Arcadia. Went over that, and it's back down to 10 foot again.
Wow.
But, yeah, she went over 11, which 11 foot is 12 is going to get some wet feet in Arcadia. And I think the most I've ever seen it was 16, and there was actually some flooding there. We have, wow, 3,180 cubic feet a second coming down. Normal is about 1,500 cubic feet. The most was 1982, and that was during the no-name storm, I think. It was 16,000. That's big numbers.
That's real big numbers.
Because it's at 11 feet now.
I thought that no-name storm was later.
Could have been, but
I thought that was like 88.
No, it was like 80. It was early in the 80s.
Well, my uncle was here, and they moved here in 85, and it was a couple years after that.
I don't think so. That was a different no-name storm.
The one that washed out all the culverts and all the things
that
on...
That was a different one.
Oh, okay.
That was a different storm.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the major flood. That was in June of 95.
Okay.
Yeah, the no-name storm actually hit in the early 80s. And then we had that weird storm. We had 18 inches of rain in 2 hours.
Right.
And that's what blew everything out.
Okay.
But that was in 95.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. All right.
Good to learn new stuff.
Yeah, coming down to the 41 bridge. Yeah, the actual no-name storm was more like a tropical system, but it never was reported as a tropical storm. But
gotcha.
It acted like a Category 1 hurricane. We had a lot of flooding, and it was just the right thing to push all the water up here. And, I mean, water came over Bayshore. I mean, it was a lot of flooding. I mean, but literally waves were going across Bayshore Road.
That would have been kind of interesting to see. Feel bad for the houses there, but that would have been still interesting to see.
Well, that's why. Remember I was telling you about sandbags?
Yeah.
That's where I learned it, because I lived in that area right there on Bayshore at that point.
Yeah.
And what I did to keep the water out of the house was I took kitchen bags, garbage bags, and because I went down to Bayshore and looked, I went, oh my God, that water's coming up. And it was working its way towards 41. I ran down the grocery store, bought several boxes of garbage bags, the kitchen ones.
Uh-huh.
And then went in the yard and started digging a hole, just putting sand in them, you know, from the yard, and stacking them up around the doors and any access points for the water. And that's how I kept the house dry.
Nice.
Sandbag's a bag with some sand in it. It doesn't have to be a specific bag. Kitchen garbage bags work great because they're pliable, and, you know, sand out of the yard is just, up north is hard to do because it's clay. Yeah, but down here, dig a hole in the backyard, you know.
That's why it always cracks me up when people talk about that. Well, I gotta do some landscaping this week. I gotta dig a bunch of holes. It's like, really? It's not like you have to go rent an auger to get through the clay like you do up north. Here, I can do it with my hands just about.
Yeah, when I was working for the feds, we got up in Clay County up north. I found out real quick why they called it Clay County. It took a $3,000 pump to blow through that.
Really?
Yeah, I had a $600 pump on the boat. It worked fine around here. And I ended up having to get a $3,000 pump to get enough pressure to blow holes in that clay up there.
No kidding.
Yeah, well, when I was setting pilings and doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was just no way the pumps that we used in this area were ever going to go through that clay. It was just nasty up there. I literally sat there for an hour with the jet pipe trying to get a hole started in it. There was nothing.
Not putting a dent in it.
Not even putting a dent in it. So we had to pack up, went out, you know, had to run up my credit card and get a big pump. But, hey, I kept working, kept going.
There you go.
That's all it is. Okay, down to the 41 bridge.
There's a lot of juvenile tarpon there and snook at night. Every night's been varying from, you know, that 9, 10 o'clock hour when traffic starts to slow down all the way up until sunrise in the morning. Just depends on when they decide to chew better. And then during the daytime off of there, I've heard of a couple of black drum, a few catch and release snook, and I've heard of a couple of good-sized trout. I know they were just incidental bycatch while they were fishing for anything else, but they were like 23, 24-inch trout. And that's those fish that have been living in the rivers because they're super gold color, bright orange mouth. I mean, they're beautiful when they come out of that river like that. They almost remind me of like a German brown trout with their coloration, with how spectacular it is.
And Barb was out tarpon fishing there the other night, and that's exactly what she saw. She saw, you know, one tarpon to be silver, and then another tarpon was just beautiful gold colors and all that. And it's just, they've been in that dark water a long time.
Yeah.
The silver ones came in from somewhere else. They haven't been living in the river. But those brown ones, the gold ones, I should say, that beautiful copper gold color. That's
looks like two totally different animals, you know.
Yeah, they've just been living in the river there.
Yeah, all they're gorgeous. I like that.
We're getting around to Lashley Pier.
Lashley Pier, same thing. I've heard of a couple trout, a couple of small mangrove snapper. One guy actually got into a nice little bit of sand bream down by the beginning of the dock there, right by the seawall. And then a couple black drum. Other than that, it's been a little quiet there. But at least it's been better than what we've been getting for the last couple weeks.
No, it actually doesn't, you know, much better report than I thought we were going to get. Okay, Bayshore Pier, we got, what, a few sharks? A
few sharks. Most of them are juvenile bull sharks, a couple of oversized ones.
Anything else over there?
There's been two cobia that I've heard of caught off of there, a couple of trout, and then a guy caught some Mayan cichlids also fishing off of the newer of the two piers. I guess what would that be? I don't know what direction that would be, but the newer of the two.
Yeah, the one on the south.
The one that you've got to walk to from the parking
not
lot.
Not the one that you can drive up to.
Right.
I never remember how to spell cichlids. It's close enough. They'll figure it out. I don't think they know how either. Port Charlotte Canal Systems, brought to you by and sponsored by Ray Smith Excavating. Ray did all the site work on my house after our house was destroyed in Hurricane Charlie. Ray did all the work for there. He's currently doing a lot of roads, a lot of buildings. They've got him going all over the state. I forget the company who somebody couldn't make the job, so they got Ray to come in and do one of their new buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And now they don't want anybody but Ray, so Ray's having to go all over. He's got Don Riggs doing concrete for him, and they're all over the state. They're running like mad right now. So
how'd that retirement work out for him?
Yeah. Jiminy. And he's just, they're running and gunning. I mean,
good for him.
Yeah. So here's the worst part about this ad. It might be a little while before you can make your house.
Right.
You need site work done. It might be a little bit, but
it's going to be done right.
It's going to be done absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can't say enough good things about Ray.
Yeah.
Port Charlotte Beach Pier, the spillways, East Spring Lake, Edgewater, Lister, Sunrise, anything going on anywhere?
A lot of little snook around.
Well, wait a minute.
Catch and release snook.
Catching big snook.
One. But it was still a nice one because I haven't seen a big one back there in quite some time. there has been some, plenty of catfish, obviously, but the sand bream are starting to move around. A few people in different random spots in the canals are catching them. The amount of rain coming through, it seems like the mangrove snapper have started to move, so I'm not hearing as many reports of them. And then jacks at the mouths of the canals in particularly. And black drum and juvenile tarpon, like up in Spring Lake, East Spring Lake, and the Manchester Waterway. And the ones in Spring Lake, as far as the tarpon go, those are 10 to 120 pounders in there, but most of the ones that are being hooked are the 10 to 30 pounders.
Yeah, it always seems like there's a few big fish in with them. I don't know what's going on. Elgin Pier,
have you ever hooked one of those big fish in there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't.
But, no.
I mean, it's still a blast catching the little guys, don't get me wrong, but I've never stuck a big fish in there, as many as I've seen.
I used to fish those guys a lot.
I know. You were the one that mastered that and figured that out.
You know, going back up to the 41 Bridge, somebody said, you know, was asking me about it, and I said, well, I'm one of the people who pioneered night fishing for tarpon there because I was one of the first ones to ever do it.
Right.
And they said, you know, they're looking at me like, really? And I'm like, yeah, because that wasn't the bridge that was here when I got here.
Right.
I tied steel on that bridge. I worked on those bridges putting them up. I helped build them. And I was on the cruise. And when it was all done, one of the guys who was there, and we were out night fishing, and found the tarpon and started figuring out how to do it and when to do it and all the rest of that stuff. And so, yeah, it was actually me and a couple other guys, Angel back then, and before Angel there was a few other guys, but
right,
you know, it really actually is true.
But you were definitely the pioneer of it, without a doubt, and that includes the in the canal system tarpon.
Well, the canal system tarpon, I know people who fished them, but let's say I'm the one who more perfected it.
Right.
Because people have been doing it forever and ever and ever, but it was hard, and it wasn't.
It was
wasn't
usually
until
just
I had
luck
to make money doing it. That's what I decided to get good at it.
Right.
And we didn't even tell people about it for several years until all this other tarpon fishing started getting argumentative.
That's putting it nicely.
It's putting it until everybody started fighting with each other over the tarpon, and then we decided to, you know, go ahead and help people catch the smaller ones in the canals. But Robert and I talked about that a long time before we did it, because even with catch and release fishing, a certain amount of mortality.
Right.
But it's worked out great. I mean, people are catching them, and each year we seem to have more fish in the canals.
Yeah. Yeah.
So even with people fishing for them, there seems to be more.
More and a little bit more cooperative.
Yeah, they're actually hitting them better.
Yeah.
Who would have ever thought that more fishing would actually make it easier to fish and we'd end up with more tarpon?
Yeah.
It was exactly the opposite of the discussions that Robert and I had when we first decided, are we going to tell people the right way to catch these and how to do it and what tackle to use, what lures to use, and, you know, and all those discussions we had about that, and turned out
it didn't mean anything.
It didn't mean a darn thing. I think we spent 2 years thinking if we
easily
do that, or three.
Easily.
Before we actually decided, okay, we need to do this, because with all the fighting going on in certain areas over the tarpon and everybody yelling and screaming and hollering at everybody, we were having so many people come here that used to go other places, basically. And they wanted to catch fish and have fun, so we finally relented and said, okay, this is how you do it. And it's been pretty cool ever since.
Yeah.
So, all right. Anyway, back onto this. Elgin bean.
Elgin bean's been a little on the quiet side. From what I understand, they're getting ready to do a little bit of construction and doing some minor repairs on the actual fishing pier here any day, if they haven't started it yet. So I haven't 100% verified it, but I've had 6 different customers in the last week tell me that they're getting ready to do some stuff out there.
Yeah, they got to keep it up.
Yeah.
Because that was a railroad trestle.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually one night decided I was going to keep fishing when the train went across. One of the single scariest things I've done, and I've done a lot of stupid stuff, but that was terrifying. Because when that train would come across that trestle, the whole thing creaked and groaned and swung side to side. You're looking at these immense railroad cars over your head, and it just felt like they were all going to crash.
Right.
And they were only going down at they were going across at like 1 or 2 miles an hour. I mean, just barely creeping across because it was so weak. It was just...
Yeah.
It was crazy.
No.
So anyway...
serious pucker factor there.
But I guess the point of that is that the pilings always are getting bad.
Right.
And they have to replace pilings. They got to, you know, work on support infrastructure to keep it up. All right. What kind of fishing, anything been going on there?
The guys from the boats and standing on the seawalls have been getting some jacks in the morning. There's been some juvenile tarpon there and a couple of small baby bull sharks and even a couple black tips. It's, you know, not gangbusters, but been good. All that river, you know, the Myakka River is flowing, cranking just as hard as the Peace River. So you always have that 1 to 2 week period where it gets funky there at Eljo Bean.
Yeah. And when we talk about to stabilize height again. And water levels on the Peace River, it's almost a mirror image of the Myakka. It's way up there. It'd be approaching flood stage, because if a storm's going across the headwaters to hit the Peace, it's going to go across the headwaters of the Myakka almost.
Right. But yeah, you always have that 2 week period after the real serious river starts flowing where it kind of screws it up for a little bit. But then Eljo Bean always perks right back up again where it becomes a little bit more consistent. But you always have that small window where it's a drag.
All right. The Myakka River system, sponsored by Murdoch Tire and Auto Center, my buddy Jim. Been good friends forever. I mean, God.
Can't say enough good about him, period.
I mean, if you're looking for some place that just does a good job and is not going to run up the bill just to run up the bill, this is it. I mean, they're, you know, I go in there and say, it's doing this, you know, it's making a noise, it's whatever. I got a light came out of my truck. I'm heading up there today. So, you know, it's Jim. I mean, yeah. It's Murdoch Tire. What more can you say?
Right.
All right. Anyway, the Myakka Cutoff, Kettle Dock, Tippy Canoe, 14-foot hole, or Eljo Bean. What's going on?
Over there around Hog Island on the north end of it, I've heard of a couple pompano and some trout. Bigger ones.
All right. Well, you were talking about pompano and something else over by Hog Island?
Pompano and a few trout up on the north end of Hog Island, especially kind of up towards that north end of the cutoff. Not any real good numbers, but a couple guys got into them. And then there's been some small sharks up around that area too, but a little bit further out towards the main part of the river. Other than that, I haven't heard of too many guys going up inside the cutoff or any of that area.
Well, I'm planning on going up the cutoff this weekend. I don't know. Go in there and find out what's going on. Anything in South Gulf Cove?
Just been some bluegill fishermen back in there catching bluegills and some Mayan cichlids and tilapia in some of the far back canals. or not, most guys have been coming out and just going right out into the harbor to go fishing, kind of bypassing most of it, which I think they're missing some of the good fish, but they haven't given me any accurate reports.
Well, I think it all boils down to, if you live on the west side of the lake, you fish on the east side of the lake. If you live on the east side of the lake, you fish on the west side of the lake.
Yeah, that's usually how it works.
Yeah. Okay, and that's going to bring us down to the West Wall, sponsored by Luigi's. And it's the home of our fishing club. We meet there the second consecutive Tuesday and Wednesday of the month. We have an all-new format for the thing. One of the reasons we pick Luigi is the food is good, and they have a back room that holds 50 people, and we're kind of separated from the restaurant, and it's just a very nice, warm, casual atmosphere there at Luigi's. It's a lot of fun. The food's good, big portions.
Food's actually really good.
Yeah. You get what, veal parmesan?
Yeah. Yeah, I like the veal, and that pot roast thing that I've gotten a couple different times is really good.
Yeah, I'm small works pizza guy, because that's enough for me, the pizza. All right, so Luigi's, thanks for sponsoring the West Wall. Dave picked this because that's where he likes to fish.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
Hey, Jim picks Myakka River because he lives up there. And several people have been picking the ones, you know, Ackline. They're right off Alligator Creek there.
It's got a sentimental value to them, so yeah, it's a good thing.
More personal values to them. On the West Wall, what do we got?
Mainly from the radio tower south, because we've had so much rain. I'm hearing of a few redfish up along the bushes, some catch and release snook. And then if you move out more into the, you know, that flat there, and on the outside edge of that flat, there's been a few trout, as long as you're willing to drift and work the area real thoroughly and slowly, and some bonnet heads and a couple of small Atlantic sharp nose and black nose sharks cruising in the same little vicinity. It's been not too bad, and I've been hearing of some small schools of threadfin staying on the outside edge of the bar there in that 5 to 7 feet of water range, with a couple Spanish mackerel chasing them and a couple bluefish, but no good numbers. Guys are just kind of catching those as by accident while they're trying to look at those schools of bait and seeing what's happening around them. So, but I guess it's been with these tides, the way you talk about the tides and the river coming in, clear water, dark water, kind of hopscotched along there.
Your best time to hit the west side is high tide, because you want that first half of that outgoing tide at this time of year. It sounds like you would want to be there in incoming, but you don't get salt there in the incoming tide. You get it on the first half of the outgoing, because the water pushes in, comes through Boca, past Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, does all that, hits each side, goes up, deflects off of Punta Gorda heading towards the Myakka, and that outgoing tide actually pulls that cooler salt water from the Gulf down that west side on the... Now, halfway through the outgoing tide, that's pretty much over, but that initial outgoing is when everything lights up over there. Kind of a weird. All right, so that's going to take us down to Cape Hayes, sponsored by Finor, the lethal reels. And the cases, the lethals are, I would say, good. I think accurate statement of the lethal reels is good and solid. Are they wonderful? No. Are they chintzy? No. Good, solid workhorse reel.
Yeah. It's good and consistent.
It's great consistency. It's got a tremendous reliability thing. We get almost none back. I think I got one back out of the dozens or hundreds that we've sold. And so when I was talking to Finor about this, advertising this, I told him I wanted it to be about, you know, that lethal or the Marquesa. We're going to talk about that occasionally too. But what a good solid reel.
And it is.
It's for the guy that's just looking for a good workhorse, that's a good reel there. All right, Cape Hayes, Muddy Bay. What's going on Cape Hayes?
Cape Hayes on the Boca Grande side of it, the deeper trough, there's been some Spanish mackerel, bluefish, a couple of trout, some fairly good-sized ladyfish. And then a handful of guys, as you're working out kind of more towards the harbor side, out towards Marker 5, that's when you're getting into some better sharks, like the black nose, black tips, sharp nose, even an occasional bigger bull and bigger lemon have been cruising through that area too. I've heard of some small baby spade fish right there around marker 5, and then that little trench that cuts across Cape Hayes out close to marker 5, where it drops off to like 8-10 foot, that little trough there. Other than that, I haven't heard much up on the actual flat itself of anything.
Okay. And that's going to take us to Bull Bay and Turtle Bay, sponsored by Penn. And can't wait till we can talk about the new reel coming out.
Yeah, so, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to be awesome.
Hopefully, yeah. In theory, it looks and sounds
it's
great.
It's supposed to be a lightweight clash is what it's supposed to be, kind of. But it's not going to be called that. It's got a new name. It's got a different name. And it's, yeah. But it's not going to be as expensive as... It's funny, they're building a lightweight, super nice reel, but it's not going to be as much money as a lot of the reels they brought out that are heavier.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the only company in the world to ever do that. Usually once you make the lightweight reel, it is one of your higher priced ones.
Right. But yeah, they're going against the grain of everybody else, which is a really nice change.
Well, they went and looked at the major lightweight reels and picked a competitive price where they could still make money. So,
right.
Hats off to Penn on that one. But Penn sponsoring the Bull Bay Turtle Bay. We'll get into more of that. But, okay. Let's see. I don't know anything about Bull Bay Turtle Bay. I haven't talked to anybody. I wanted to call Fish, but I couldn't get a hold of them.
Yeah, the last report I got was honestly Monday.
All right.
A couple guys were drifting through there, and they were picking up some, not very many trout, but they were bigger trout, catching them on pinfish under a popping cork. And then Warren was in here this morning, and he was saying the other day, a few days ago when he was in there, there's a bunch of juvenile tarpon still in the back of Turtle Bay and that cut going towards the Eagle's Nest. And he said there's been a few bigger sharks moving in there onto those flats, like 5 and 6 foot lemons and bulls that he's been seeing cruising through there on his last couple adventures, trying to go crabbing and fishing at the same time.
Yeah, that's always a thing. All right, Cape Hayes Reef.
Cape Hayes Reef, just a couple of Spanish mackerel and a couple of bluefish is all I have heard about. And once again, that was Monday or Tuesday when I heard about that from a gentleman. He didn't stay very long. He said the tide was pretty slack.
All right. And takes us over to Gasparilla Sound and the Tailing Flat, sponsored by Waterline Radio. Yes, indeed. The radio show sponsoring it.
Wow.
So your guys' radio show, Robert, is on that show every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 o'clock on 92.9 Kicks Country. Radio Waterline with Josh Olive, Captain Mike Myers, and the one and only Robert. So, going to have to make this one sound good.
It's actually been the more consistent spots going on as far as diversity. All those flats out in front of Widden, between Widden and Catfish out there, that whole grass flat. Some trout, some ladyfish, a couple of redfish, a couple of snook, occasional bluefish and Spanish mackerel, and even a handful of sharks of assorted sizes. I don't know anyone that's been fishing right up along the shoreline, you know, in Widden and Catfish, but most of the guys are just staying out in that open flat area and drifting out towards the intercoastal. Soft plastics have been working the best, along with the mirror lure Miradyne. And just working it nice and steady. You know, not super fast by any stretch, but just a nice steady retrieve on either the plastic or the Miradyne seems to be the most productive. A couple of guys have been in there pitching crabs and catching a few oversized redfish. But mostly I've just been hearing about soft plastics and the Miradyne for keeping it consistent in a variety of fish. Water is starting to get a little cloudy on the outgoing, at the end of the outgoing tide, but it is staying fairly clear all the way up until that last little bit of outgoing tide.
Yeah, there's not quite enough brown in the harbor yet to muddy it up, but if this keeps up, one more week of this rain and it'll go dark brown.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll look like your coffee.
No, because I used the hazelnut creamer, so mine has this kind of wonderful milky tan color, but that out there is going to look like it right before I
Right before you put the cream in it. Yeah. There you go.
So, all right, Placida Pier and the Placida Trestle.
The Placida Pier just opened back up last week or week and a half ago because they repaved from the parking lot all the way out to the wooden pier. So now it's super easy, nice, easy access. You don't have to drag across a dirt pothole road. A couple guys said it's really pretty amazingly nice. They've been getting some mangrove snapper off the pier and all around the trestle itself. Been a couple of pompano. Quite a bit of catch and release snook, both during the day, mostly at night. I've heard of a couple of juvenile tarpon there at night off around the trestle itself and the drawbridge. And then some small sharks have been there incidentally throughout the day and in the evening. I haven't heard of many too many other species, but it's been a good, consistent, keep the rod bent kind of place.
All right. If I only had a brain, my fingers only had a brain, where I spell fishing, FISHINIG. What? Okay. Warren takes us up to Stump Pass. You know, Lemon Bay area. Well, not Stump Pass, but Lemon Bay Park, the whole Lemon Bay area there. What's going on?
That Lemon Bay Conservancy is the only place I've heard a fishing report up there this past week. A couple guys have been wade fishing along there and getting some trout, a couple of catch and release snook, and there's been a couple of bigger bull reds coming through off and on that they've been catching. But other than that, I haven't heard too much about the rest of the surrounding area too much. Not with any consistency anyway. But that whole area, that park there is beautiful, just to go down by the water and all that stuff. You know, and we do that talk out there for the Inglewood Fishing Club a couple times a year, which is awesome. So it's always nice to go to that park just before we do the talk or after the talk and check it all out.
Yeah, that's Inglewood Fishing Club out there. We go out and talk for them, and what nice people. Great people out there at the Inglewood Fishing Club. If you live in the Inglewood area and you want something to do on, it's usually the day after our meetings, the Thursday after ours, but nice group. You don't have to be a member to go and check it out.
Right.
You can go there, listen to, attend a meeting and see what you think of the people. I mean, I know you'll like the people, but, you know, is it the group for you? I would hope so, but you know, just a lot of nice people. Some of them really don't fish much at all, and some of them, there's one woman there, and she goes out, she'll catch a couple of sheephead, and she is so excited.
She's awesome.
She is amazing. And I can't remember Nicole's restaurant. What the heck is the name?
Nicola's.
Nicola's. Nicola's.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, that's on 776.
Yeah. Her and her son come in here all the time, and he just loves the fish.
And
the food.
The food is phenomenal out there.
Absolutely.
I should get them to sponsor a thing. I'll take it out in meals.
Right?
Yeah, I'll trade. That's some good food out there.
Yeah, that's really good.
It's this side of Inglewood. It's before you get... It's kind of like when you round the curve going past 771, it's on the left side.
Yep.
Down just a bit.
It's good stuff.
Yes, sir. There is a doctor guy kind of looking at for you out here.
Well, anyway, I bet you didn't even miss us. There was about an hour between the last sentence and this sentence. Just about everybody came in. Star Rods was here, and one of our jig guys was here. Everybody just kind of showed up. So anyway, we're getting back into this. We were at the Inglewood Pier Tom Adams Bridge. I know we didn't have to tell you that, but the truth in advertising here. I don't really know what's going on there.
The pier itself has been not too bad during the day. I've been hearing some mixed reports of mangrove snapper, some small whiting, a couple of trout, a couple of bonnet heads, and then the night fishing, some of the guys have been catching some bigger mangrove snapper, obviously catch and release snook, which is typical. and some juvenile tarpon and some pretty decent sized ladyfish. So, you know, there's been kind of the little bit of the mixed gamut going on.
All right. Now, do we have any reports from the Gulf?
I've had two reports, and both of them were super spotty. One guy actually braved it this past weekend with Red Snapper opening. We've seen a little bit more of an influx of people going out there, surprisingly. He was getting into American Reds at 150 feet of water, and then came into 102 feet of water, and they got their limit of Red Grouper and Gag Grouper.
Okay. The American Reds were in 150 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
And then what'd you say?
He came into 102 feet of water and got his limit of Gag and Red Grouper. Like it said, he said it took the boat like 10 minutes to have their limit. So it was very quick. It was literally, he said it was about a half day trip. It took longer to get there and back than it did to catch all of their fish that they needed for the day.
Hey, so, that's not bad. Any reports for anything inside?
Inside, I haven't heard much because so many guys have been chasing tarpon up and down the harbor, and that little depression that went through on Monday, Tuesday.
Right.
Nobody really went out.
All right. Anything going on in the passes? Any of the passes doing anything?
Captiva Pass, I've heard a couple good reports on. There's been some trout just on the inside of Captiva Pass, on the north side along those deeper grass flats. There's been a couple of legal-sized gag groupers that a couple of guys have been using the big 2 to 4 ounce Spro bucktail jigs on. And then there's been an assortment of smaller sharks just inside Captiva Pass and just on the outside of the pass itself. And
yeah, Benny was trolling for the gags and stuff down there. He's using that Rockport.
Oh yeah, that Rockport bucktails, yeah, with Rockport the eel thing on it.
Yeah, he's doing good on them.
Nice. Yeah, but that's honestly the only pass I've heard about anything worthwhile. The tarpon left Boca Grand Pass and just been in there sporadically, and same way with Captiva Pass. But that could all change tomorrow with this weather system finally moving away.
Right. All right. Well, that's going to take us to Walking the Beaches. And going out walking the beaches is sponsored by the Fish Coach, Josh Olive, the Fish Coach.
Nice.
He goes with you on your boat, or if you're going to go walk on the beach and you want somebody to show you the best ways to rig up or what lures to use and how to use them, how to cast, how to do whatever, Josh the Fish Coach is there. Just click on that icon where it says Josh the Fish Coach there, and you know, on the place-by-place fishing report page. And Josh will go with you and show you. You come to your backyard. You can meet you at the store. However you want to do it. All right. So, anyway, if you're going to walk the beaches, what?
All I can give you is hypothetically, because of that storm system, it was so windy out there, really nobody was venturing out on the beach that much this week. From what I understand from Carl this morning, it's still fairly cloudy out there. But he is seeing a couple tarpon, but doesn't help the shorebound fishermen. But I think over the next day you should see it clear up a lot. I just can only guess what would be out there at this moment.
Okay. Alright. That's going to take us down to Ponarasa, Sanibel.
Ponarasa, the only thing I've heard about honestly has been the docks right there at the hotels and condos there. There's been some good catch and release snook, a handful of oversized redfish, and then just out in front of Ponarasa where it starts to turn into the grass flats a little bit, some of the guys have been getting some bigger trout, and there again, they're catching them on pinfish. Pinfish seems to be the real key factor to better sized trout these past couple weeks. So, other than that, I haven't heard much at the causeway or anything in general right there in that immediate area. And I think partially due to that weather system we had made it a little funky.
Yeah, the hurricane that never was, but, you know, it's so unfortunate, you know, a major minor storm, you know, it was a tropical depression, not even really anything. And a log floats up on the beach and it hits a kid while he's in the waves.
Is that what happened? never heard what happened. I just heard that there was the
boy
child.
Died up there.
Yeah, I heard about the child fatality, but I didn't know what happened.
It's like that one in a million shot. I mean, he happened to be on the beach, and from what I understand, a log in the waves just came up, was just, you know, hitting him, and just knocked him unconscious.
Right.
But you know how a wave is in this, or a log is in the surf.
Oh, absolutely.
What a horrible thing.
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, I can't even, I don't even, shouldn't even be talking about it. It's just not cool. But, you know, it's,
right.
Talk about
just
weird, erratic things in, you know, life and death.
Right.
You know, it's, I don't know what goes on with that. Clusancy River, I've heard of tarpon at the Cape Coral Bridge, but I'm going to put that in on the tarpon thing.
Okay.
I have not had any other reports from down there in the Clusatchee.
And I haven't either, and I think it's because they are letting a little bit of water out with all this rain flowing all the levees. I don't think too many guys have wanted to venture up there around the power plant or any far in that.
Yeah, it always gets to be a lot of car going down through there. Right. Let's see, Matt Lachey.
Matt Lachey in the immediate area, like Matt Lachey itself, I've heard of a handful of mangrove snapper, but they were bigger. So a couple oddball sheep's head, a couple small black drum, and a handful of catch and release snook. You know what always surprises me about there is you just never hear about the guys that occasionally catch sharks off of there. And I know they're down there, but you just never hear guys catching them off of there. It's kind of strange. All the places they shark fish around here, and you just never hear of it down there for some reason.
Bridges up their ways.
Yeah, but so are some of the other bridges that these guys fish off of.
Yeah. All right. Well, Pine Island. Excuse me. Pine Island Sound.
Captiva Rocks area is about the only thing I've heard of, honestly, has been some trout, a couple of redfish. I heard of two flounder being caught there by a guy that was wade fishing. And then up kind of just towards the shacks just north of Captiva Rocks, there's been some trout, a few Spanish mackerel hanging in some of those deeper troughs there, with a couple of bluefish. So, and all those guys were catching them mostly on soft plastics, just jigging them along, trying to cover some ground and see what they could pick up. So, other than that, the usual USEPA and all that stuff, just haven't heard much about. And the water is a tad bit milky down there because of the wind that we've had coming in right through Captiva Pass there, but it was still visible enough for him to work those sand holes and stuff.
Okay, takes us up to Boquilla, Jug Creek Shoals.
Have not heard anything there the last few days.
Okay, Burnt Store Two Pines, sponsored by Shimano. And I'm actually not at war with them now for the CI-4. They actually brought it back where now I can actually sell the CI-4 again with a clear conscience. It's a good little reel.
It is.
It's lightweight. It's nice. It's a good reel. Very happy with them taking it back a couple years. They had made a bunch of very bad modifications, and last year put it back, made it a good reel again, and so now I can sell it and honestly say it's a good reel. So
have a clear conscience about it.
Yeah, I'm real happy with that. And the reason I bring it up that way is because I've been, you know, telling people, don't buy this thing. It's a piece of garbage. You know, it's wonderful. It's lightweight. It's nice. But it's a piece of garbage. And they didn't believe me until they came in. The rotor's falling off the spool. And they say, oh, it's broken. No, it's not. Here, take the spool off. Here, tighten that nut up. Okay, there it goes. Well, it's going to go it again. I said, yep, and I told you that when you bought it.
Exactly.
You know, I tried to tell you. You didn't want to listen. But they have fixed all the issues, even put an O-ring on the shaft to try and minimize the salt sand intrusion on the main shaft. So, all in all, it's okay. Now, they still have the best $30 reel in the world.
Absolutely.
There's nothing... For $30, it's the Sienna is the best reel you can buy for $30. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
I sell it. I know I'm not supposed to mix ads, but with that one Abu rod, it's good looking. It's lightweight. It works lures. I mean, you can fish bait with it, but it's for $80, you're getting this great little lure setup. I mean, a rod that will actually throw lures nicely. It's got great tip action. It works good. I was really surprised. But anyway, let's go to the fishing there.
Mostly what I've been hearing about down there.
And can you believe Shimano bought an ad from us?
That's pretty awesome.
I was like, well, that's really all for me?
Yeah. I mean, we're lucky with the rep we have. He's an incredible cat, and he really likes to work pretty hard at it.
I've been very, very hard on Shimano. So.
Yes.
It's...
But yeah. Most of it's deserved.
Well, I would never do it. I don't have that...
malicious intent.
No. But the truth is the truth.
Right.
And most companies, what do they say? You can't handle the truth. And that's the way they work.
Right.
But they're doing a good job now. They actually fixed everything. All my complaints they've addressed and taken care of. So, you know.
It's a work in progress, but it's a positive progress.
Right. Back into the fishing here. Burnt Store, Two Pines is where we're at.
Two Pines is where I've been hearing more activity along those, because they got some of those real deep cuts under their mangroves down there. Been some decent oversized redfish, handful of catch and release snook. There's been some trout as you work your way out a little bit further on the flats, closer towards the inner or towards a deeper channel. And then there's also been a handful of cobia and small sharks working the outside of the bar closer towards Burnt Store. Not a lot of cobia, but that's been enough coming by on occasion with the shark fishermen where it's worth mentioning. I just haven't heard of any big ones or good-sized legal ones.
Yeah, I'm kind of itching. I want to go out and catch cobia here. I got to get that boat out. I bought that stupid thing to drive my boat up on and take it off, and it sucks.
What's wrong with it?
It doesn't work. You know, it's one of those float-on docks where you can drive your boat on and back it off like a trailer. They suck.
What's wrong with it?
It sucks. I can't get my boat off.
Wow.
Yeah. It goes on fine. It just don't come off. You know, it sucks. It's bad. Horrible. Not good. And no backup from the company. They just, once they get, it seems like these people who sell the floating boat dock things, once they get your money... They don't want to talk to you anymore. They got your money. You're done. You know?
Yeah.
So, no, I do not in any way, shape, or form recommend buying one of these floating things to put your boat on and off.
Right.
Not worth it. I didn't want to do the electricity and all the rest of that stuff. I wish I had. All right. Anyway, we are on the east side, which is sponsored by Akuma. Who, you know how we were talking about dollar values and reels? Best dollar value is for $50 at Akuma that I can never remember the name of.
Avenger.
It. No, the...
The...
Zeros or...
Ceros.
Something like that. I don't know.
They got so many... Samar.
Samar, yeah.
Samar. Right.
They got so many stupid names, but I guess you got to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But great $50 reel. I would say as far as $49.95, best dollar value on the market.
Yep.
I was absolutely astounded to tell you a little bit, a weird little story about that. I took the whole lineup of Akuma reels and I put them on the counter when we got them. And I said, guys, tell me which is the most expensive or the nicest reels here. And their $50 reel was either number one or number two pick by everyone who worked here.
Including myself.
Yeah. I mean... that's the reason I did it is, to me, what amazing little reel for $50. It's sweet. So and at the time their $140 reel absolutely sucked on a stick. It was horrible. But
that one actually felt like the lower middle end.
Yeah, they literally was always like in the bottom two. But decent line of rods. I mean, with the weight test, I've had several people pick some of the Akuma rods. So the rods are doing
that
well.
Shadow Stalker is actually really nice. Even that tarpon Shadow Stalker has been impressive. When I got to fish with that last year with Carl, and we got into some of those 6 foot and 7 foot lemons and bowls with it, I was actually pretty impressed.
Yeah.
More shocked too.
The Shadow Stalker is good. They got a good 2-piece rod for anybody needing a 2-piece spinning rod. They got a nice medium heavy 2-piece spinning rod. One's like $70. The other one's like $100. But they got a decent lineup of rods, and the Oros or Zoros or whatever that is.
Saros.
No, the Z one, the 99
one. Oh, yeah. No, I can't pronounce that one.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's their $100 reel. Good, strong, and tough. I mean, so far it's holding right there. And if you're looking for that $100 reel right now, you've got a choice of a few. And the Akuma is in the choices now. It's actually worked its way in. So, okay, you're looking at these $100 reels. It's one there. We picked up a new sponsor today, too, Shield Reels.
So, oh, nice. There you go.
They want to. But Akuma, they're sponsoring this spot. And actually, I like a lot of their products now. I'm actually feeling much better about it. Been selling them, and they're working out pretty good. Isn't this a weird way to do an ad? And do you believe it? These guys are actually paying me to say crap like this?
Or right.
Stuff like this? So, you know. All right. Anyway, East Side. What's going on?
East Side, mostly it's been the half mile just north of Burnt Store of Pirate Harbor. The bushes and some of those deeper sand holes on the inside trough there of the bar has been some redfish, handful of catch and release snook, a few mangrove snapper, and then the trout have kind of been mixed. Some, like in the morning, they're kind of up on the flat in that little trough, and in the afternoon they're moving to the outside edge of the flat in the deeper water in that 3 to 5 feet of water range. The key down there seems to be drifting to cover some area. If you're looking for the redfish, it seems like you got to find some of the little pinch points where you're getting just a little bit more current water flow, close access to deeper water. That seems to be where they really are hanging out the most. The old island Two Tits, that trough that's out in front of it about, I don't know, what is it, 40, 50 feet out in front of it?
Yeah.
That's had some redfish cruising through it and a few bonnethead sharks. Kind of a little mixed gamut of some smaller bluefish and even a couple small mangrove snappers a couple guys have caught through there.
You know, Kale was saying it's sand bream underneath the mangroves. I haven't heard anybody else say it, but he says he's seen a lot of sand bream underneath the mangroves over there.
Right.
I'm not putting it on the written report because I was talking to Kale and he saw it. I haven't any confirmation of the stuff, but it does stand to reason. A lot of sand bream moving around right now.
With all the rain and everything, because they are very much a fish that likes brackish water. So it wouldn't surprise me that they would be getting pushed out of some of those back creeks and coming out onto some of the flats, but I would imagine...
Looking for a little more salt.
Yeah, well, not a lot more salt, no, just a little.
It gets really fresh up in some of those creeks right now.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, a bass could probably live up there.
Arcadia, you know, which is flood stages.
Right.
So, now let's move up to Alligator Creek. And this is sponsored by Acline HR. Now, they do all my employee stuff, all my payroll, workman's comp, everything. And I'm really happy with them. And, you know, actually all you guys work for them. I'm just kind of the place where you show up to do it. But no liability for if they mess up the taxes, I'm not liable for it. Remember the last payroll company I had?
Yeah.
They screwed up my payroll taxes, and I had to pay the fines.
Right.
I didn't do it. That was their job. They did them, messed them up, and I had to pay the fines. That's when I fired them. I got in with Acline, and I've been real happy. It's 941-347-8625. I'm looking at the thing. If you click that, it takes you right to their website. Real nice people to deal with. I don't know if it's more expensive or less expensive, but it's a lot less worry-free.
Right.
And I know the people.
It's worth.
Friends with them. They're nice. And, man, I'll tell you what. You got to watch who you deal with because some of these, you know, you're dealing with somebody and then they sell out to somebody.
Yep.
Oh. That's what happened to us the last time. We had this great company and all of a sudden, boom, then we were with this national group and nothing worse than a big multi-state corporation when it comes to this stuff. Stick to the little guys.
Yep.
All right. Alligator Creek. Any reports we can do Acline justice with?
Right there at the old locks going into Burnt Store aisles. There's been some nice-sized jacks coming and going through there. A few bigger mangrove snapper. I've heard of a lot of juvenile tarpon up in Burnt Store aisles itself, 10 to 30 pounders. And then out towards the mouth, now that they've kind of finished, they've finished dredging out there. They're still, from last I heard, that was 2 weeks ago, they're still dredging up inside closer to the restaurant and the old marina there. But now that the entrance is calmed down and cleaned up, I'm getting a couple reports of some catch and release snook, a couple of oddball redfish, and a guy skipped some pompano there the other day but couldn't catch any of them.
So, all the way back up in there?
No, right at the mouth.
Oh, right at the mouth.
Right at the mouth. Yeah, as he was coming out, he went to make the left down the east side, and he said right as he started to make that left, they went skipping across the flat there.
Yeah, I've skipped them there several times and never have got one of them to bite, but I will. One day I'll go across, skip some, swing around, and I will get them to hit.
It's amazing. That's one of the few fish that I know of that you can actually legitimately spook and more than half the time turn back on them and cast to them and catch them. You know, I hear that more often than not, you know, versus you run past a cobia, spook it, he's gone. Never going to get him to hit. You know, run over a school of redfish, most of the time they keep going and you're never going to catch them. You know, but gone. Pompano, you skip them like mullet and throw a lure out and half the time you catch them. It's kind of funny.
I think half's a strong word, but I'll go for it.
A larger percentage, then. How's that?
I'll do a larger percentage of the time you can actually do that, yeah. I think it's a matter of, do you feel lucky, punk? You
know? Right.
I mean, that's really all it boils down to. Ponce de Leon Park, anything happen at Old Ponce?
I have not heard anything right at Ponce itself from the dock. Everything's been just up inside.
So what's going on up in the canals?
Jacks from... You know, 5 to 10 pounders. A lot of juvenile tarpon moving around throughout the whole canal system, so one's not better than the other. I've heard of a couple of big snook being seen, nobody catching them, but seeing some pretty good-sized snook. And then, of course, a lot of black drum, and the black drum have been cooperating very well because guys are catching them on shrimp, crab, and then a couple of guys have been doing exceptionally well on paddle tails on a jig head, just real slow crawling it, lightly hopping it along the bottom and picking up some of those, you know, 30 and 40 pound black drum on it. So there's been a pretty good gamut. The only thing I haven't heard about really honestly is the snapper that you usually kind of hear about consistently.
Right. All right. Well, that'll bring us over to Gilcrest Pier.
Oh, that's an easy one. I haven't heard anything.
All right.
One guy went fishing there, but he never came back with anything, so I don't know how he did.
Okay. Alligator Creek Reef. The Concrete Reef. The 1 Mile Reef. The North-South Reef.
41 Bridge Reef.
41 Bridge Reef, yep.
It's like a whitebait. 27 different names for the same thing.
Yeah.
The only thing I've heard about is at the very southern end of it has been a couple of small mangrove snapper, a couple of Spanish mackerel, and a handful of small sharks. Other than that, it's been a little on the quiet side for this time of year. I didn't hear about any spade fish this week like we did last week.
Yeah, no idea. All right, the deep holes in the harbor, sponsored by CETO, and I actually had to use my CETO membership.
Yeah?
Yeah. Ran out of gas.
Which is way strange.
Yeah, I mean, it's the second time it's... Maybe the third time in my life, but the second time here in Charlotte Harbor ever. And I could swear I had 30 gallons of fuel in that boat when I parked it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still of the opinion somebody siphoned some gas out of it. Or I don't know, maybe, you know, it could be all in my head. I might have burned it out. I don't know. But I did run out of gas. And CETO brought me 5 gallons of gas. Now, you do have to pay for the gas when they bring it, but they don't charge you to bring it. But
right.
You do have to pay for the gas. It's not exactly cheap, but it's way better than getting towed back.
Especially if you don't have CETO.
Yeah, if you don't have CETO, you know, you need some type of thing. I like the guys at CETO. We're friends with all of them. They're going to be doing some fishing reports with us and stuff. But
they're awesome people.
Yeah, they're really nice, and that's why we have CETO. I know the other companies are, you know, good companies as well, but, you know, we're CETO. You know, how do you beat Mark and those guys?
Right, so, exactly.
Anyway, deep holes in the harbor, where you see that bright yellow boat hanging out there.
Right.
I think that's why I picked it, because whenever I go out there, I always see them sitting there somewhere around there. They're by marker two, or they're by out in the holes or somewhere.
The lower 20-foot hole and the Pirate Harbor hole have been the two most popular places right now. A lot of small sharks, a couple of even bigger sharks. There's been some thread fins starting to move in and out of those holes, so it wouldn't surprise me if we start to hear some more reports of maybe some cobia or tarpon showing up in them, but that's about all I've heard about besides the plentiful catfish. You know, so, but always a little funky with that amount of water coming out of the river. It doesn't surprise me if the lower holes are a little bit better than that upper hole right now until it kind of stabilizes just a little bit more.
And I can tell you, I'm expecting the tarpon to show up in these holes. I'm hearing stories of free-jumping tarpon down on marker 6, marker 5.
Mouth of the Myakka.
Mouth of the Myakka. There's tarpon free-jumping all over. I think these holes, for as far as the tarpon fishermen go, are going to light up pretty good. But now this brings us to, you know what? I forgot to do was load this. And I don't know how to do it. That's weird. You ever just have one of those things where you did it and then it doesn't work and you wonder why?
Right.
Yeah. So, because it doesn't show up that way. So I guess I got to redo it. Anyway, what was I saying now? The deep holes in the harbor. Tell me about them.
We just did the deep holes. That was what we were talking about with the tarpon.
Now we're doing tarpon.
Yeah.
What's going on with the tarpon?
The tarpon have been, with that tropical depression coming by, kind of did something to them, because a lot of those fish ran offshore or just, they disappeared. They went into that alternate parallel universe that we always talk about and just flat out disappeared. A handful of fish have started to show up along the beaches from what I've heard this morning. Tricky to see them because it's still milky out there and they're not really staying still. I've heard some incredible reports of fish from basically Sharky's Pier going north up to Longboat Key, which those fish are there every year like this, but I think just everyone's so excited about hearing about those fish up there since they're kind of zero here. I've heard of a handful of fish or night fishing on this upper end of the harbor around the 41 bridge, and even some at the El Jobin bridge has been incredible, but the bite's been one night it's at 11 o'clock and then the next night it's at 3:30 in the morning. So you almost kind of have to be prepared to put a full night into the thing rather than just only going there for a couple hours. And then you obviously talking about, you know, the free jumping fish scattered throughout the whole harbor. And now that we're starting to see some thread fins moving in, we might hopefully start to see a more consistent actual fishable number of tarpon inside and around the harbor. So keep your eye out when you're on your way out, heading out. If you're looking for tarpon and you're heading towards Boca from here, look real hard and work the area slow as you're on your way out. And if you happen to see fish concentrated in a spot, start working them, because they could pop up any day. You know, that's kind of what they did last year here.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I am actually thinking that these tarpon are going to come up into the harbor at any moment. Sorry about that. Ding, ding. because of all the bait showing up and all that. What's your thought?
I think I agree with you on that. I mean, like anything else, it needs a food source, you know, to stick around for any period of time. So with the new moon going in, these fish are going to start to move around a lot more. Last year, it was kind of the same scenario where they didn't show up until a little bit later because the bait didn't show up until later. But once the bait showed up, it started getting those catfish and ladyfish and little sharks moving around in the upper harbor with consistent numbers. And then the tarpon were literally right behind them. So I'm kind of with you on that.
Yeah, I think it's actually going to be lighting up. And I'm not even sure if it's by the day. I think it could be any hour.
Right. I'm with you on that one.
Because there's a lot of tarpon, and I need to be typing this, because lots of tarpon at the 41 Bridge.
Yeah, the 41 Bridge has been absolutely amazing these last basically 2 weeks. You know, and the funny part is, how many years have we been teaching people about using shrimp for tarpon fishing, and they always look at us like we got three heads?
Oh, yeah. Tarpon don't eat shrimp. You got to have whitebait or threadfin.
Or your crab's got to be exactly 2 3/4 inches, or else it won't work. Nope, shrimp will never, ever work. Yeah. You know, and
it's just shocking how many dozens get caught at night up on the bridge with shrimp.
Yeah. You know what the funny part is? This is the first year where I've heard of not only the numbers of tarpon there, but guys actually catching snook in addition to the tarpon off of there. Because I've fished that thing, I don't know, 100 times for tarpon a night at least. And I can honestly say I have hooked no snook there fishing it like I'm doing the tarpon stuff. I've only seen a couple ever hooked while doing it. You know, it's just strange. But yet, these last 2 weeks up there, you're hearing guys, oh yeah, I jumped 3 tarpon and caught 4 snook, or caught 1 20-pound snook and 2 10-pound tarpon. You know, it's kind of neat to hear that, because I've always said that, you know, I can catch a snook when I'm standing up on top of that bridge, but why am I not ever hooking them while I'm down there in the boat chasing after the tarpon? I've never understood that for myself.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So, one of those neat little, gets you to kind of scratch your head a little bit.
Actually, it should, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it's just, it's odd. You know, I can go almost any canal in a boat and catch snook. Any bridge usually can catch snook. I can only catch them from the bridge there. And I'm not really doing anything different other than I'm standing 30 feet above the water rather than a foot.
Yeah. Because,
you know, I'm using the same lures.
Yeah, so I really don't know how that's all working out.
Just one of those little tricky things of the day to screw with you.
Yeah, I get it. Well, I just found out that won't work either, so I guess we gotta go back to doing it the old-fashioned way.
It's not fun when it doesn't cooperate right.
It's just weird. I think what I've been trying to work with really just is part of the older program that no longer works. So,
gotcha.
You know, you get more used to it, you know. The more you get into the computers, you find out, okay, this will work, this won't, this will work, that won't. Yeah.
Right.
So, no big thing.
Way beyond my knowledge. I don't even know how to turn on a real computer anymore.
Yeah.
Know how to turn on an iPad, but I don't know how to use it yet.
Well,
not very easily anyway.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I had to take out the way I had all this done because it just did not work. Now it's working. Okay, I know that'll work. All right, that's going to bring us down to the bait reports. Now, I got thread fins over the deep holes. And
yep.
Some at the alligator reef. Have you heard of whitebait anywhere?
I have not heard of any whitebait in the area. I had actually a couple customers call yesterday and today asking if we heard about any, because one was down there by the smokehouse and then went over to Jug Creek, and he couldn't find them at either one of those spots this morning, so he was calling here to see if we had heard anything else before he started making himself crazy or going all over the place looking for it. And there again, I think that weather has something to do with it a little bit, with it disappearing the last couple days. It's probably around, but it's been a little on the milky side depending on where you're at, so the guys are probably just having a much harder time finding it.
Any idea where the pinfish are?
All of your bigger pinfish have moved offshore.
All right.
They're
how about the tiny ones?
The tiny ones are down around Boquilla, on those bigger, just on the edges of those bigger sandbars out in that 4 to 6 feet of water. And then also over by Widden Creek, Catfish Creek, but out towards the intercoastal there, same depth, that 4 to 6 feet of water seems to be holding them a little bit better. Backside of Devilfish out towards the ICW, same thing. They seem to be in that little bit deeper water, you know, and they're all averaging like 2 to 3 inches long, you know, not much bigger than a silver dollar, which I personally would prefer those for mangrove snapper, because that's like, that's candy for them.
All right. Freshwater reports. Or, wait a minute. Do you know, have you heard of anything about ladyfish?
The only ladyfish I've heard about is a handful, catchable numbers of ladyfish down by Widden Creek, out along those flats there, working your way out towards the ICW. And then also right there along the deep channel there at Cape Hayes, working your way to the inside of Turtle Bay. That's the only two spots I've heard about from several people with some consistency. I think we're still a little early for the giant schools of them to start being excited, but we should be seeing more than we are.
Okay. Freshwater. What's going on freshwater-wise?
Freshwater kind of slowed down the last several days, and the only thing I can figure is, number one, we were out of shiners, so guys just weren't fishing them. And then there's so many tadpoles out there right now from all this rain. I think the fish have gotten really focused on tadpole-sized bait. So, you know, your little crappie minnows are working pretty good. Pieces of nightcrawler are working good. But what I would personally do out there with all this rain and as much fresh water's been pushing through all the culvert pipes and stuff, and we've had enough days where guys are targeting them, I would be fishing in the late afternoons, early evenings.
And how many years it's been since I wrote the word tadpole?
Long time, probably.
Yeah, I don't...
Pollywog?
Yeah, pollywog. That would have been a better one to write. Okay, so anyway, you were just saying something about where?
I would be looking for some of the canals where you're starting to get some of the buildup of the water hyacinth, where it's kind of starting to clog up some of those drains a little bit, because those fish seem to be hanging out underneath that because it has been so warm. Finding something with some shade and cover. Bless you. That would be my personal preference if I was going to look for some bass right now, or even, bless you, or even bluegill. Because, you know, it's we had such a huge dump of fresh water, and now it's a little bit browner than normal, so I think it's just being a solar panel, and those fish are getting a little on the lethargic side and want to seek out a little bit of shade and some little comfort to their non-eyelid eyeballs.
Right. So it makes all kinds of good sense. All right. Well, that brings us down to the end of the fishing report. And several hours working on it, but,
right,
you know, we got it there. Anyway, let's see. Anything else that we should go over?
Not really, you know. Take advantage of this weekend, because the weather's actually supposed to be pretty nice weekend as far as lack of thunderstorms goes.
If you can get out early in the day, get out as early as possible, and expect to be doing good on fishing till around 10 o'clock.
Right.
Then between 10 and 1, the fishing's going to be a little iffy, you know, the closer you get to 1 o'clock. And by 1 o'clock, head home.
Right.
And avoid the sea breeze, avoid the heat at the end of the day. But this is the time of year where the early bird is going to see the fish.
Yeah.
It's cooler, it's better fishing, and that's where you're going to want to be. You're not going to want to be back in, you know, in some of these creeks in the middle of the day with all the no-see-ums. Touch a mangrove leaf right now, and you'll have 1,000 no-see-ums all over you.
Yeah.
So.
You were telling me about that the other day. I'll pass.
Yeah.
Especially as bad as I've been getting chewed on lately. I just got drilled on the forehead earlier when I was out there with that guy. I got a little bump from that mosquito. He hammered me good.
Yeah, if there's a mosquito in 50 miles, he's going to come.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, anyway, Fish and Frank here in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me, and we are going to be doing regulars. We're actually getting paid for this now, so it's going to be a regular item. So, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye. Say goodbye, Robert.
Goodbye, Robert.